I'm here with Alexander Mercurs, editor-in-chief of The Duran. Alexander, let's cover what's going on with all of these trials and investigations in the U.S. regarding Russiagate and Ukraine Gate. And we have four people to focus on. Let's look at Roger Stone, who is now asking for a new trial. I think he deserves a new trial, especially in light of the evidence that came out that one Tamika Hart, who was a Democrat party member, she ran for office, very partisan, very anti-Trump. She was the foreperson in the trial as part of the jury. And so I could just imagine that she had a lot of influence on the jury during that trial. And her tweets are stunning, how much hatred she has for Trump. And so it looks like Roger Stone has some pretty solid footing for a new trial, but you'll get into that. Let's look at McCabe. And McCabe got off. Free, clean, nothing. They're not going to go after him. So he's celebrating. I believe Lisa Page even tweeted like a photo of her drinking some wine saying cheers, Andrew, or cheers, McCabe, I don't know, Andy, whatever the hell she said. And so these people that initiated a coup against Donald Trump are obviously nothing happened to them and they're happy. We have Brennan, and it looks like the Durham investigation is now expanding and they're targeting Brennan, at least that's what it looks like. And we have Flynn, and it looks like Barr is going to re-examine the charges brought up against Michael Flynn. So Alexander, Stone, McCabe, Brennan, Flynn, whichever order you want to tackle them, however you want to deal with all these four people, they're all related one way or another. But you have two people on one side, Stone and Flynn, and then you have McCabe and Brennan on the other side. So go ahead, Alexander.
What the stories of all of these four people show, in my opinion, is that there's a war going on within the Justice Department. I mean, if we go back to Stone, I mean, consider what happened with Stone. We had a situation where he was tried, and let me repeat again, that case should never have been brought against him. He said some absurdly inflated things about himself. He inflated his own importance during the 2016 election. He gave people to think that he had some connection with WikiLeaks, which he never had. But the only reason he was ever involved in any kind of investigation at all was because of this phony theory about collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians, which nobody who had two gray cells to rub together should ever have believed. And somehow or other, because so many people in Washington did believe it, and because the FBI also either believed it or wanted to believe it, they interrogated him. They arrested him early in the morning with, was it 30 armed police or some ridiculous number. They prosecuted him and they treated him incredibly. And the more we learn about this case, the more shocking it seems. Firstly, there was the 9-year sentence, or 9-year proposed sentence, which was outrageous. It turns out the two of the prosecutors had some role in the Mueller investigation, and it turns out that they didn't clear it with the Central Justice Department, who were completely blindsided by the desire to go for this incredible sentence. And it now also turns out that the judge, it has to have been the judge, allowed a juror to join the jury and to act as foreman, who was extraordinarily biased in the whole case and who had clearly had her mind made up from the outset. Now, that seems to me extraordinary. And yes, he does deserve a retrial. And I say that even though I happen to think that he is technically, that he is guilty of the charges that were brought against him. I mean, somebody can be guilty of something without, you know, it being in the public interest that they should be prosecuted. I mean, he did tell lies to the FBI. He did try and persuade this person, Cedrico, to, you know, change his testimony in order to clear him. And he did say some rather stupid things in text messages. I don't take any of that seriously. I don't think in any kind of criminal justice system that is working rationally or sensibly, he ought to have been prosecuted. But yes, for what it's worth, I think he is guilty as charged. I don't think he's had a fair trial when, as I said, the juror is so obviously biased. It seems to me the judge must have been incredibly biased also to have allowed this juror to sit in the jury. And the prosecutors were completely biased also, as shown by this bizarre sentence that they were seeking. And you get the same thing with the other cases. So you
same judge as Manafort, by the way.
Absolutely.
Same judge as Manafort.
Same judge as Manafort. And, you know, you get the same thing now with the other cases, because, first of all, we see that McCabe is being cleared. Now, I should stress he's not been cleared of everything, but he's been cleared of the a very serious lying and leaking charges, which Horowitz had identified. So he's been cleared of those. At the same time, Barr now has to go to outside counsel. He obviously doesn't trust people within the Justice Department. So he has to go to outside counsel to review the equally crazy case that was brought against Michael Flynn, who, as I said, was tricked by the FBI in a staged interview. He was led to think that this was an informal interview with Peter Strzok and one other person. And he said things to them, which perhaps in a properly conducted interview, he would not have said, and which allowed the FBI to bring this case against him and to also dig up this Farah case against him also, which again should never have been brought at all. And so Barr clearly doesn't trust his own department. So he has to bring an outside person to look into that case, because it seems that's the only way that he can do that properly. And last but not least, we do have another person who comes from outside, you know, the FBI, the Justice Department, the central organization of the Justice Department. We have Durham, and he's carrying out the real investigations, and he seems to be closing in on Brennan. And we see articles appearing in the New York Times with the CIA and people in the CIA apparently complaining about the kind of questions they're being asked and about the entirely valid questions that are being put to them by Durham's investigators, and that investigation is being expanded. That, in my opinion, is the real investigation. If we're going to ever get to the bottom of what happened in Russiagate, we have to look at Durham, because it's quite clear that the rest of the Justice Department is complete cesspool. I mean, it's full of people whose loyalties remain very much, it seems to me, with the Obama DOJ, the Obama Justice Department, and are still obstructing, to the best extent that they can, real investigations, the real investigations that are going on, and which are still trying to persecute people like Flynn and Stone.
Do you think that McCabe getting off was due to Barr, or do you think it was, like you said, the Obama side? And listening to what you just said, do you think this is a setup by the deep state in order to go for a second impeachment? In other words, if Barr is actually fighting the swamp forces within the DOJ,
yeah,
and they've just let McCabe off the hook and they tried to literally lock up Stone for life. It would have been a life sentence for Stone. And Barr had to go outside the Justice Department for Flynn. Do you think that they're saying, the swamp inside the Justice Department is saying, you know what, we want Trump to go ahead and pardon Stone. We want Trump to pardon Flynn. We want Trump to pardon Manafort, because you also have the Manafort, say the Manafort-Podesta dynamic, where they were both literally working together, both of them. And I mean, they were literally working together, and one of them's in prison and the other one is running around Europe giving speeches and collecting million-dollar art. Do you think they're waiting? This is all kind of a setup to go for that second impeachment and say, you know what? Dictator Trump is pardoning all these criminals, et cetera. And this is the whole game that they're trying to play now. And Barr's kind of, you know, walking that tightrope. So he's saying, okay, we'll let McCabe go here. I've got Durham there. Let's work on Stone. Let's see how I can figure out Flynn. I mean, how do you see this shaping up?
I don't think it's an impeachment trap for the simple reason that the president unequivocally has power to pardon whom he wants. And I think for the Democrats to start an impeachment case on something like that would simply not gain traction.
They're talking about it, though. They're talking about
it. Oh, I know they are. But as I said, I think at the end of the day, when they go back and think about it, they'll realize that that just isn't going to work. The other thing is, I don't think Trump is going to do it before the election. I think if he wins the election, I'm pretty sure he will do it then. But I don't think he's going to do it before the election. So I think he's not going to, he's going to cover his own bases, and he's going to make quite sure that he's not going to give himself into a position where he could be impeached again on something like this. And I don't think, frankly, an impeachment on the the president's constitutional exercise of his power to pardon anybody is going to work. What I think there may be some wild talk of impeaching Trump on the basis that he interfered in the Stone case by criticizing the proposed sentence that these prosecutors who've resigned were trying to impose. I mean, I can just see that kind of argument. But the problem with that is, firstly, Donald Trump has a perfect right to criticize a sentence. I mean, this is not the conduct of the trial itself. It's the sentence demand which he's criticizing. That seems to me entirely within his remit to do. But secondly, beyond that, I mean, that sentence was wildly disproportionate. You're going to send an old man for the rest of his life to prison because he said some stupid things on television and radio. And I mean, it makes no sense. And I think ultimately such an impeachment would fail. But coming back to your fundamental question, I think it has to be a case that Barr is running into all kinds of resistance within the Justice Department. And I say that because look what's just happened with these two cases, with two of these cases. He's clearly was not consulted about the sentence that was going to be imposed, that it was proposed against Stone. He clearly was, I mean, it's a fact that he was not informed about it and that his people knew nothing about this and were shocked when they heard about this. So already that's an extraordinary fact in itself. And of course, the very fact that he's had to go to outside counsel to carry out a proper review of the Flynn case shows how little confidence he now has in what is going on within the Justice Department itself. I would add, by the way, that the fact that he's had to go out of his way to bring in Durham to carry out an investigation of people like McCabe, that, you know, he can't do it using the internal FBI lines of command and control, but has had to appoint an outside person to carry out that investigation. I mean, that in itself shows a lack of confidence by Barr in his own department. So, you know, we have this tug of war. We have a battle going on with people within the Justice Department resisting Barr in every way they possibly can, trying still, as I said, to persecute people like Flynn and persecute people like Stone and, having rigged trials and a judge. And I get to say, I don't like to talk about biased judges, but I think in this particular case, I can't see how you can avoid doing it because that judge must have known about the opinions of this juror. So if the judge was willing to allow a juror like that to sit on that jury and become the foreman, that suggests to me extreme bias by the judge. I mean, it's the only explanation I can come up for this. So a biased judge, a Justice Department that is resisting its own chief and is still trying to persecute people like Flynn and Stone, that can't be trusted to investigate people like Brennan, and that which is giving, you know, clearing people like McCabe. So inevitably, Barr is having to step outside it. I predict, by the way, that if Trump wins the election, we're not only going to see prosecutions. I think Durham does intend to prosecute, indict people, but I expect we're going to see a massive purge within the Justice Department, bigger than anything we've seen up to now.
It needs to be bigger than what happened at the NSA just recently, Alexander. But none of this is a coincidence, I think. Well, I mean, you know, the timing of McCabe getting off.
Yeah.
And all the mainstream media announcing it. You see, McCabe was clean. We told you all along McCabe was clean.
Of course.
And then you had this, and then you had the Stone stuff going down. Mm. So these things kind of ran in parallel. I think the prosecutors who recommended the 9-year sentence knew that one of two scenarios was going to happen. Either they were going to get the 9 years, and in which case they would be able to run with the narrative. You see, Russiagate was real on the one hand. It really did happen. The Russia really did interfere, and you know, Trump got help from the Russians and Stone and WikiLeaks. And on the flip side, we were right about McCabe. McCabe is, you know, a good cop, a loyal FBI agent, and he was clean. So those stories ran in parallel. None of this is a coincidence. And it's not a coincidence that they're even calling for the impeachment of Barr himself. So it seems that, you know, this really is a war. And the swamp is the swamp, the Democrats, the mainstream media that's, you know, funded and supported by the Democrats. They're pulling out all their big guns to take down Barr and Trump and, you know, everything that's been built over the last 3 years.
Well, to answer your question, of course, it's not a coincidence. The fact that all these things have happened together at the same time is no coincidence at all. The reason they went for the 9-year sentence as Stone is precisely because they would be able to turn around and say, well, you know, there was something involved in Russiagate after all. That's why he got his 9-year sentence, because he couldn't possibly have got a 9-year sentence for the trivial things he actually did.
It had to be a bad crime for it to be 9 years.
Obviously, yeah. People like us who follow the news carefully, people who watch us on the Duran, would know that, you know, Stone wasn't in fact guilty of any kind of collusion, but to, you know, the general public, that's the idea anyway, the general public would be led to think that Stone had done something really terrible, and that proves that something was involved with Russiagate after all. And that's what the same thing is happening with Flynn. I mean, Flynn, they're keeping him in suspense. They're refusing to allow him to change his plea to a plea of not guilty. Because again, they want to keep the whole idea that Flynn was up to something bad alive. No question about it. Of course, these are not coincidences. And of course, the giving a free pass to McCabe was absolutely part of this. So, you know, Flynn and Stone are the bad people, and McCabe is this heroic, you know, crime fighter fighting for us all in the FBI. That was the image that they were trying to give. I don't think it worked. And I think the reason it didn't work is because, well, first of all, obviously Donald Trump himself complained about it on Twitter. But again, I think Barr, who is actually, in my opinion, quite a personality, wasn't going to be pushed. And he not only made sure that the sentencing guidelines for Stone were going to be changed, but as I said, he's appointed outside counsel to look at Flynn. So, and you know, we hear that Durham is pressing on, and that his investigation is enlarging. By the way, there's been a lot of misrepresentation of an interview that Barr gave, in which Barr said, you know, he appeared to complain about Trump's tweets. But the real point Barr was making is that he's not going to be pushed around. He's going to do his job, and he's not going to let himself be influenced. And it's clearly not Trump who's primarily or principally trying to influence him. It's the Democrats who are threatening to impeach him. and his own people in his own department who are blindsiding him. But, you know, he's obviously determined to stick to this and see it through. Let's hope he's allowed to. I said this before, you know, I have no vote in the pending election in the United States. It's not for me to decide who the president of the United States should be. But I consider this whole situation with Russiagate, with this attempted coup, as you rightly describe it, so serious that I want Donald Trump to be elected, simply so that Barr and Durham can complete the investigations that they are on, that, you know, that they're undertaking, and that the people who did this thing and who held the United States for ransom for 4 years and who are still there and still wielding an awful lot of power are finally smoked out, and the US government is brought back to some kind of health. And can I just finally add to the point that you made? The Justice Department is the key. It's the key department. The CIA, the FBI, all of those, they cannot do anything against an American politician. They cannot interfere in the American political process unless the Justice Department does it for them, because everything ultimately has to be conducted through the Justice Department, because it is the Justice Department which both authorizes investigations and which carries out prosecutions. So that is the key institution that has to be cleared up.
A lot of evil stuff going on, Alexander. Bloomberg is also saying that he may choose Hillary Clinton as his running mate. The swamp. It's going to fight on.
These people don't give up. Yeah. I mean, they will fight on. Well, for one thing, now, I mean, despite McKay being cleared, and I would stress it's only cleared over some things. Despite that, they are frightened. I mean, the reports that are coming out of the CIA is that people are very, very concerned and afraid of what Durham. The questions that Durham is asking. And there are first hints, by the way, very first hints, and I'm not sure this is true, that Durham is starting to question the whole, not just the origins of Russiagate, the collusion theory, but that he's starting to question some of the stories that have been spread about who hacked the DNC computers and whether they were hacked. There are some stray pointers that suggest that he might be starting to develop doubts about that also. And of course, if he does, then that's going to be really, really explosive. And we've already seen that Admiral Rogers and the NSA are starting to distance themselves from that allegation too. And by the way, there's a whole series of articles in the Daily Telegraph in Britain, which are also starting to suggest that some people in Britain are becoming nervous. So, you know, but the Justice Department is the key. It's a battle that is being fought out. These people who are opposing the investigations, the true investigations, still wield enormous power. And they now have a huge amount to lose. So this is going to be a battle that's going to be fought every inch of the way.
Alexander Mercurius, Editor-in-Chief of the Durand, thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click the subscribe button down below. Click on the notifications bell. Smash that like button. Please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and subscribe. Start your donation. Really helps this channel out a lot. And please go to the Durand shop and pick up some magic mugs and some awesome Durand polo shirts like the one that Alexander is wearing.
Indeed, sir. I'm afraid I've had to leave my magic mugs this time in London because I'm literally whizzing around in a small suitcase. I'm in Berlin at the moment, by the way. And I'm going out to all sorts of important social occasions and meeting people. And that's why you see me in my magnificent, incredibly smart, enormously elegant, beautifully made, 100% cotton, exceptionally comfortable and stylish Durand polo shirt, of which you can find many amazing examples in our shop. I've worn these polo shirts to many glittering events, and I will continue to do so because they're not only beautifully made, they're incredibly hard wearing. They don't crumple or crease very well, very easily, and they iron beautifully. So, and they don't tear or get ruffled. I mean, this one is as good as new, and I've worn it lots. So you can find our Duran polo shirts there. You can find all kinds of other equally beautiful and well-made shirts, more casual shirts. You can find long-sleeve T-shirts and short-sleeve T-shirts and V-neck shirts, all 100% cotton, all amazingly comfortable, all amazingly stylish. And you can also find other things on our shop. You can find our famous and celebrated magic mugs. I've had to leave mine in London because, as I said, I don't want to lose it. I'm very absent-minded when I travel, and I certainly don't want to lose any of my very precious magic mugs, which I couldn't be without for any length of time because I need them to sustain me through the long watches of the night when I research the various topics for our programs. But if you go to our shop, you will find many examples of those there too. And of course, you can also find other things on our shop. You can find hoodies and stickers and hats, all of the same amazing quality. You can find our 4 ebooks in which we cover all the topics, including Russiagate, by the way, which you talked about on this program. You support us by going to the shop because it is through our viewers that we get the support and the strength that we need in order to continue to provide you with the analysis and commentary which we provide you. So support the Duran, be the proud owner of all these great things, come to our shop, buy these marvelous things there, and Alex will tell you how.
Just go to the Duran shop. com. You'll find the link in the description box down below. Alexander Berkers, Editor-in-Chief of the Duran. Thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.